Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions. Healthcare, climate change, pollution. Throw away the Constitution.
Tim Hawkins, one of my favorite songs, The Government Can, spells it all out. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. A big thank you to Chris Ann Hall for coming on. She's in the middle of putting out a documentary, and I was there for some of the filming of it. So was Uncle Milty, and it's going to be a great, just such a great show for people to watch, for families to watch together. I cannot wait till it comes out. And of course, I have the wonderful, this is Constitution Day, and so I could not be luckier in getting Mike Mahari and Chris Ann Hall in the same hour. Got Uncle Milty here. I'm a lucky girl. What can I say? Mike Mahari, welcome to the program. So glad to have you.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you got it. I mean, I love your take. Of course, National Communications Director for the 10th Amendment Center, managing editor of Shifgol website. Is all of that, that's all pretty, that's right, right?
That's all absolutely correct.
Okay, perfect. Sometimes I come across older bios, but let me tell you, I could go on and on, but you've penned ebooks. You've got The Power of No, the historical and constitutional basis for state nullification to limit federal power. Boy, is that important. And, its practical application. And then you've got the Constitution and the Report of 1800 and the Jefferson Letters, all kinds of wonderful ebooks and resources. I go to the 10th Amendment Center all the time, and I really enjoy Mike's writing. Let me just tell you, he's got some wonderful articles on the financial aspects of what's going on. Hopefully we can hit on that. And I would also love to take some calls, and let's please stick to the topic of the Constitution. Any questions you have about going through this monstrosity, fakery we call COVID-19 that's been going on, as far as the government overreach. If you have questions about that and you would like to ask Mike, the number is 888-673-1450. What are your rights? How can we fight this? And how can we do it within the system we have? Because I'm always one to say, we do not need another bloody revolution. That was fought and done. We do still have, it's hanging by a thread, but we still have it, the Constitution, and we need to be able to utilize it. And we've been so dumbed down and ignorant to what it's about, its meaning, all through the years, that I think we just don't know that we can. And so what the feds and the states are doing to us and our liberty, they're telling us what they want us to believe in their power that they supposedly gave themselves, and the people aren't calling them out on it. And I would love for you to talk about this last 8 months, Mike.
Well, let's start with Constitution Day, because, this is the date on which the delegates at the Philadelphia Convention signed the finished Constitution and sent it off to be ratified. And
right.
So what does the federal government do to celebrate Constitution Day? I'll tell you what it does.
Okay, I'd love to hear. Yeah.
George W. Bush signed an unconstitutional act. Created an unconstitutional mandate that requires the unconstitutionally funded public schools to teach the Constitution. if that doesn't really just sum up where we are today.
It so reeks. I mean, it's just to try to follow that ball of yarn. I think we have just been so dumbed down. I almost played the song. You remember the song It's a Bill from the 1970s?
I do remember
that. Okay. And how misinformed we truly are about the process, about the power they give themselves continuously. There are states right now in lockdown, and unconstitutionally so. And what do you tell people to do to work within this system to regain their lives? I mean, what is a law versus a mandate?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what's going on in Kentucky, where I have a little bit of familiarity.
Sure.
I moved from there not too long ago, but I'm still pretty connected with what's going on. And the Kentucky State Supreme Court actually just heard a case today that has been brought against the governor to basically strike down all of the gubernatorial mandates that he has laid out over the last 6 months or so. And they've done it under the state constitution. And, you know, it's interesting because – The structures of state constitutions are generally very similar to the federal constitution, and there's a very specified delegation of powers. Mm-hmm. And if you read the Kentucky state constitution, it is very clear that there's an executive branch and that there's a judicial branch and that there's a legislative branch. And it specifically says that one branch cannot exercise the powers of another. So when you have these governors running around acting like little dictators and, mm-hmm. and effectively writing law from the governor's office, this violates that separation of powers. And so folks in Kentucky have taken action in state court to try to get this thing struck down. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that mm-hmm. case plays out. But that's, you know, I always say, start at the level of government that is oppressing you. Don't run to another government and try to get them to fix it, because then you're just empowering that other government. So I'm not a big fan of running to the federal government to fix what's going on at the states. But I think we have a tremendous amount of power at the state and local level to fight back and push back against all of these mandates and actions. And then, you know, the other thing that I say is that as individuals, we have to be willing to take action and sometimes just stand up and say, no, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. I think if more people would say, no, I'm not doing this, a lot less would happen, because some to a large degree, I think government operates just simply by our submission and compliance.
Yes.
Oh, amen. And so, you know, regarding the Constitution, does the Fed play a role in if the states are doing this and giving themselves authority and everything else? Because I'm like you, I don't want to give more power to the feds. But does the Fed have a role if the states are going rogue and just doing whatever they want to citizens? And I mean, completely violating their rights?
Well, theoretically, mm-hmm. yes.
Okay.
Because of the 14th Amendment. Mm-hmm. The federal courts now can apply the federal Bill of Rights to the states. I think that that is bad law, and I think it's bad strategy, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
99.9% of the time, the federal government's going to side with government power. Yep. And what you're doing, and we're actually starting to chronicle a lot of these cases. I've written a couple of articles just in the last several weeks mm-hmm. where you know, people have sued in state court or federal court based on something that that has happened at the state level, and the federal judges have said, oh, no, that's perfectly okay. Well, what happens when you do that is that now becomes a precedent throughout the entire United States. So not only for instance, there was an incident in Kansas, and it regarded Fourth Amendment rights, and ended up going to federal court, and federal court found in favor of limiting the right to privacy. Mm-hmm. And so now that precedent is something that's set for the entire United States. Now, if they had done it through the state court, through the Kansas Constitution, which also has protections for privacy, mm-hmm. the Kansas courts might have done the same thing, but it would have only applied to Kansas. Now we have a situation that applies to the entire United States, which is a shrinkage of our rights. To me, when you run to the federal government and ask it to police the states and to protect your rights, you're playing Russian roulette, and you're going to get one good ruling here and there, and then five bad ones. And I don't want to play that game or take that chance. I'm a firm believer, first and foremost, in decentralization of power. Right. And I believe that centralization of authority is absolutely the greatest threat to liberty. So, mm-hmm. you know, I always say work at – if you have a state that has gone rogue, as you put it, then fight it at the state level. You have state courts. You have a state constitution. Don't run to the feds. And people will say, well Mike, mm-hmm. what if the state gets away with it? Well, you know, I can ask that question at the next level. What if the feds get away with it? Do you want the United Nations to police the federal government to ensure
so
that –
true. It's a great point.
At some point, you have to draw the line, and I draw it at the state governments. And that's not because I love state governments. It's mm-hmm. just because there's 50 of them, and, and we have a little bit better odds there.
No, it's a great point. What about the state of emergency? Because they, when they put out their little edicts and mandates that people think are laws, but they're not, like a king would, like the tyranny of a king, when they do this, they're claiming state of emergency. And so legally and everywhere else, where does that put us if they can continue to do that every 30 days like they have?
Well, I think that's a usurpation of power. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, we go back to this idea of separation of power. So you have a legislative authority in the legislature that's to make laws. Mm-hmm. And the executive branch has the authority to execute laws, to put those laws into effect. There is a legal doctrine called the non-delegation doctrine. And essentially, in a constitution, in a contract, one party can't take powers that were delegated to it and then just willy-nilly hand them to somebody else.
Okay.
This is a kind of a fundamental aspect of contract law. So when the legislature, and most of these, you know, these states of emergency, the governors are empowered by certain legislation that the legislatures put out and said, okay, if we have these situations, you can declare a state of emergency and then you can do all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that shouldn't happen. Now, what do you do about it? That's the $64,000 question, because I think in most situations, this is an example of how courts are going to side with the government. And
yeah.
I mean, you certainly, I think, should fight it as best mm-hmm. you can and make these legal cases. But I think really when you get down to that point, it's going to come down to the will of the people. We have to convince enough people that we're not going to simply submit to these arbitrary and capricious rules. And, you know, eventually the government will follow the will of the people.
Right.
But until we can convince enough people that this is bogus and baloney, I mean, the sad thing is so many of our neighbors think this is just great, you know?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
No, they really do.
And what's scary about it is they don't realize the ramifications of it. You know, you think, oh, this is an emergency, so we have to give the government this power because it's going to protect us. Well, when you give the government power to do something,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to just apply it to the situation that you think is an emergency.
Oh, amen.
You know, it's power always expands. And I tell people this in kind of a joking way. You never want to give any government entity power that you wouldn't want your ex-wife to have or your ex-husband. You
know? I love that. No, that's
don't
so great.
Don't go giving people power, because at some point, mm-hmm. as good as it may seem right now, that power is going to be used against you, because somebody is going to be in that position of power that you don't like. And yeah. we've seen that at the federal level. We had all of these people on the left that just cheered, you know,
right.
when Barack Obama had his pen in his phone and was doing all these executive orders. Now they're horrified that, oh my gosh, Donald Trump is in the White House and he can do all of these things. Well, you created it.
Right.
And you've got the Trump people right now doing the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, making excuses when Donald Trump does unconstitutional stuff, not apparently realizing that, you know, we may well have a Joe Biden or a Kamala mm-hmm. Harris or, you know, if Trump wins this term down the road, for God forbid, an AOC. So
Jeez.
Don't set those precedents.
Oh, man. We have about I'm talking with Michael Mahari, who is the National Communications Director for the 10th Amendment Center. If you haven't been there, you need to go to 10thamendmentcenter.com, because he's written some fabulous articles. So have others on the site. And it really, really gets down to the nitty gritty on the Constitution and explains it in such a wonderful way. I've really enjoyed looking and learning from this site. So we're going to come right back. I do want to talk about the money changers, because this is always at the crux of what's wrong, and what's going wrong would be the money changers of America and the world, and of course the Fed. Let's talk about the Fed when we come back. And he'll take your calls to 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. We're live and Alabama, Chicago, Missouri, all of you guys, Utah, everywhere. This is your opportunity to call in. So call in 888-673-1450. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart.
Oh, yeah. Born free. I love this song from the Wayback Machine,
live
Matt Monroe.
Free.
Live free.
And beauty surrounds
and here we go.
You.
The world still astounds you.
The world still astounds
yep.
you.
It astounds me right now when I walk into stores. Trust me. Welcome back to The Kate Daly Show. I am so grateful that you're tuned in because I have such a special treat today on this Constitution Day that unfortunately is not being celebrated with our youth and should be. And so if you can, go to katedalyradio.com, get this podcast of Chris Ann Hall and Michael Mahari from the 10th Amendment Center talking about the Constitution and relaying all their expertise and helping you understand it to your kids. Your kids need to hear this. They should have heard it in school, but LGBT month took over. And please, by all means, make sure that we're educating our children. Make sure you also go to Balance of Nature. Balanceofnature.com is an amazing food supplement. Our food supply is trash. And if we haven't realized that yet, look at our health. So make sure you're going over and getting 31 fruits and vegetables a day, dehydrated down. They take the air and water out. This is an amazing supplement that you can have, and they packed everything into it. Put in the code Kate, my first name, K-A-T-E. You'll get 35% off, more than a third off, and free shipping, and try it in about 2 weeks. It takes about 2 weeks. About 2 weeks, you're going to start to feel so much better and look better, and you're going to love it. Balanceofnature.com, just a tremendous supplement. Happy to talk about them on my show. Michael Mahari, back with you, and I was going to ask you this question about fighting. It seems to be that the recourse people are finally stumbling on is suing their governor, suing their mayor, suing because I don't know what else we can do right now. Is there another answer to that? How do you feel about that answer in particular?
Well, at the 10th Amendment Center, our strategy is using this kind of process called nullification, mm-hmm. Which the system is set up very well for state and local governments to be used as tools to push back against federal power.
Okay.
And you can do that by simply withdrawing cooperation. So the federal government requires state and local cooperation for virtually everything that it does. Mm-hmm. If you withdraw that cooperation, and the Supreme Court has upheld multiple times that the federal government cannot force state and local governments to enforce a federal law or mm-hmm. implement a federal program, by just refusing to cooperate, and this was actually the strategy James Madison came up with even before the Constitution was ratified, mm-hmm. we have a tremendous amount of power over the federal government. Now, it becomes more difficult because of the structure of government to do that at the state and local level, because states have much more power over their localities than the federal government does. But I still think that there is some room to do that at the local level. If your local government can say, you know what, we're not going to enforce this mandate, or your sheriff mm-hmm. can say, I'm not going to enforce this mandate. Sheriffs have a great deal of power as constitutional law enforcement officers.
Okay.
So I'm a big, you know, we call it the Rosa Parks strategy. Just say no.
Okay.
And there's a tremendous amount of power in that.
Okay. So here's a quick question for you, because then I want to move on. But the question is this. The state says we have a mandate. You cannot open your business. You do open your business. And then all of a sudden, a cop shows up. If you were to take that all the way through the system, would that cop win on arresting you, or would you win? Because the mandate is not a law.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on the judges.
Yeah,
and that's what's
right.
scary about it. It depends on the whims of the judges. I would much rather see, like I said, a constitutional sheriff in office
sure.
that says, you know what, we're not going to go shut this business down.
Right.
And,
okay.
The other side of that is that there is power in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could get 20, 30, 40 businesses in a given area to say, we're going to defy this order, then it becomes much more difficult to enforce. It's just like the traffic on the interstate. You know,
yeah.
the speed limit says 55. Everybody's going 65.
Yeah.
It's not a thing in the world the government can do about it.
Right.
So
yeah. they can't arrest everybody.
Here's another thing. This is a difficult pill to swallow.
Okay.
But at some point, there has to be people who are willing to stand up and face the consequences. I said, the Rosa Parks method.
Sure.
She went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days of medical marijuana in California, the federal government was tremendously aggressive in prosecuting the new medical marijuana businesses. And they would come in and raid, and they would arrest a bunch of people. And then 5 or 6 hours later, they would open those things back up. But people went to jail. People had to risk.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to the American Revolution. People had to risk their lives, their treasure, their sacred honor. And at some point, you know, Frederick Douglass said that the extent, the power of a tyrant, I'm paraphrasing here, but mm-hmm. the power of a tyrant is defined by our willingness to submit. Mm. And
that's so true. Know, we give him power.
We have to be willing to literally stand up and fight back. And I am not a proponent of violent revolution. I don't want to go out and guns a-blazing, mm-hmm. but I do think there's tremendous amount of power in civil okay. disobedience and, yeah. And mass non-cooperation.
I love that.
Maybe we should start thinking about organizing in that way.
Okay. And so here's one other question for you before we get into the financial stuff a little bit, but our next lockdown, and I do think one is coming, might look a lot more like martial law. And they're kind of setting us up for this on the left. They are repeating and repeating and repeating that they're just going to go in and take everyone from the White House. And you might not like the results kind of rhetoric that they're trying to spread in the fake media. And so if that were the case, martial law, can you tell me a little bit about the power from that they could grasp from martial law?
Well, I think if it gets to that point, mm-hmm. talking about legal strategies or, you know, political strategies are going to become moot. I mean, at that yeah. point, it becomes a matter of raw power.
Right.
And at that point, we're going to have to decide how we're going to resist or if we're going to resist. And, you know, does that mean armed resistance? I don't know the answer to that question. Yeah. I'm basically a pacifist.
One.
I don't want to go there. But
right, me neither. I don't feel like it's that. It's necessary when we have the Constitution. But Uncle Milty,
right?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize that martial law isn't just, oh, listen, we're going to set up a curfew.
Yeah.
It's the direct military control of all normal civil functions.
Right.
Right.
That's
right.
bad.
Oh, that's pretty
yeah, that's
bad.
It's tremendously yeah. bad. And at that point, you are outside of any right. Any constituted legal structure.
And
like
so
I
are
said,
they.
It becomes a matter of law.
And so are they, right?
And so are they.
And
yeah,
so are
yeah,
they.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I that's been in my mind. So I wanted to ask you about that. And then let's talk about, you know, the raiding of the coffers when we're in a state of emergency. It seems like they all get the coffers that filled and they're able to go in and raid them successfully. The $1 trillion bills, multi-trillion, is kind of amazing to me. Do you want to talk just a little bit about the Federal Reserve, maybe where we're headed, and also the financial arm of what's going on through this?
Yeah, I wish
emergency.
Somebody would fill my coffers, right?
Right? Seriously.
Or, you know, give me the printing press. Let me roll off some of those dollar bills.
Right?
No, it's really astounding. We got the Treasury statement for the month of August came out late last week. And the deficit for the month August was $200 billion. I hardly even saw any headlines. The yeah. federal deficit for fiscal 2020 mm-hmm. is over $3 trillion. There's still 1 month left to go. The previous record was $1.4 trillion. That was set in 2009 at the height of the Great Recession. So we're already double
Jeez.
The biggest deficit in the history of the United States. And we're talking about another, what, $1.5, $2, $3 trillion mm-hmm. Fiscal stimulus bill that they want passed. You mentioned the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is the entity that makes the biggest, most powerful government on the face of the earth possible. They are backstopping all of this. And, you know, just in a quick nutshell, the way it works, from what I understand, the last number I heard, the federal government is borrowing 60 cents out of every dollar that it's spending.
Jeez.
So that means it's having to go out and sell treasury bonds, goes out on the open market, sells these treasuries, basically borrowing money from the general public. What the Federal Reserve does is it goes out on the open market and it buys up these bonds and puts them on the balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates an artificial demand for all of this debt. It makes it possible for them to issue way more debt than would be possible under a normal market circumstance. The way that the Federal Reserve pays for this debt is they write a check on an account that doesn't really exist. So they create money out of thin air. You know, it's as if you could just write an infinite number of checks out of your bank account. I mean, like I said, cool mm-hmm. gig if you can get it.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing, and the technical term for this is they are monetizing the debt. They are creating money out of thin air. They are creating inflation. They are devaluing the value of your money, devaluing mm-hmm. your dollar. And ultimately this house of cards is going to collapse. You're either going to see a massive collapse in asset prices, stock market, real estate, those type of things like we saw in 2008, or we do have the potential for, you know, hyperinflation where you start seeing prices rising at an astronomical rate. And we are seeing prices rising, according to my wife. Every time she goes to the grocery store, she's complaining because all, you know, prices are going up.
And food gets smaller. And it makes sense. And food gets tinier for the price.
And they're creating this money out of thin air. And so this is an unsustainable economic system. And this is why I tell people, you know, beware. Everybody gets all excited because we see the stock market at record level. Stop and think about this for a minute. We've had a huge contraction in the economy with the government shutdowns and with the slowdown of economic activity through this this pandemic. Why is the stock market at a record level when we've had a massive contraction of the economy? That's not rational.
Right.
The reason is the Federal Reserve is printing all of this money. It's buying up all of these bonds. It's holding interest rates artificially low. It's creating a bubble economy that's going to pop. And, you know, the crazy thing is we were heading this direction even before coronavirus. People will point and say, well, this is coronavirus. It's an emergency.
Nope.
We were actually heading for a $1 trillion deficit in 2020, even before the pandemic.
Yep.
So we were on that course. Last year, 2019, before there was any hint of coronavirus, Donald Trump's administration ran the fifth largest deficit in the history of the country at a time when supposedly we had the greatest economy in the history of the world.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense either. So all of this is artificial, phony, baloney, you know, plastic banana BS.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, you know, we talked about being prepared. I think we need to be prepared for whatever civil unrest may come. I think regardless, we need to be prepared for a lot of economic hardship down the road.
Yeah.
I would be wary of any kind of dollar denominated assets. I would be long on gold and silver. I would be long on, you know, maybe foreign stocks because I think the dollar is heading toward a collapse.
Oh, as we go into digital currency, as they tried to pack into the $1 trillion bill. And are you worried about the nationalization going on? Because in for the bailout money, the airlines, the government took ownership, part ownership of the airlines now. And of course, they did this with trucking. And there's going to be a third one. I think it's going to be hospitals. But what do you feel about the nationalization that's going on under everybody's noses? I don't think people realize.
I thought we had to vote for Trump to save us from socialism.
Well, I mean, that's, I mean, honestly, our Congress does nothing about this. Our Senate, nothing. They're doing nothing, too.
I know. It's crazy. And this is what happens. An economist, Bob Higgs, wrote a book called Crisis and Leviathan, wrote this a number of years ago. And the whole premise of the book is how the government uses emergencies as an excuse to expand. And by golly, we're certainly seeing that right now. I mean, we saw it after, at 9/11. You know, we just celebrated, or not celebrated, but remembered 9/11. Mm-hmm. We're still dealing with the big government ramifications of that debacle, the Patriot Act, the surveillance, the never-ending wars. You know, that was all put into motion after 9/11. I can't even imagine what government powers are going to exist after all of this you know, pandemic business has passed by, because this is an excuse. It's the old Rahm Emanuel, don't let a crisis go to waste. The federal government and the state governments and local government, everybody, and it's an excuse. Everybody says, oh, well, you know, it's ironic. Steve Mnuchin, who's the Treasury Secretary, was on CNBC the other day saying, we've got to have more stimulus. We will worry about the deficit later. A crisis is not the time to worry about the deficit. Well, dude, you weren't worried about the deficit last year when supposedly the economy was the greatest in American history. So when exactly do you worry about it?
Exactly. And they do. They use this emergency time to get away with a lot. And both sides of the aisle, they're getting away with a lot, and they're not doing much about it. And so it speaks volumes about it. They're really political place fillers, right? I mean, that's really what they are. I mean, representation, we don't really have that at all anymore. So it's frustrating. Go to the 10th Amendment Center. I sure have appreciated having Michael Mahari on with us, because let me tell you, we need to be able to talk about these kinds of things as a nation, because we are ill-equipped to do so right now and so ignorant. I really appreciate you, Mike, for coming on. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate the education that you're putting out there.
Oh, absolutely. 10th Amendment Center. I'll be right back with Uncle Milty and also the guest Tucker Carlson just had on, Mark Moreno, talking about Climate Change Hustle 2. And so that'll be coming up next. Stay with us. If you don't get that hour, get it on podcast at katedallyradio.com, as well as this podcast. Make sure your kids listen to this. The youth, they need to hear what Michael has to say, what Chris Ann Hall has to say. Thanks again, Michael Mahari. And we'll, of course, be right back on The Kate Daly Show. We'll